Saga Egmont presents Caesar's Soldier by Alex Goff, read by Andrew Wincott. To Mum, for all her love and support, and for reading all my novels when I specifically told her not to. And to Abigail, finally an adult. Prologue. Calendis Sextilis 724 Ab Urbe Condita AUC, 1st of August 30 BC. Alexandria. Cleopatra is dead. Antony stared at his slave Eros, the bearer of the news, in disbelief. It could not be. Eros bowed his head. She is already in the mausoleum. I am so sorry, master. Cleopatra? Dead? Not that enchanting, vivacious, intelligent queen, the one he had loved more than any of the other many, many women in his life, his partner, his lover, his best friend. He slumped back into his chair and put his hand to his brow. It was the end of everything. He had thought that, even after the defeat of the navy, he could hold out with Cleopatra in Egypt indefinitely, just as Cleopatra's ancestor, the first Ptolemy, had done after the death of Alexander the Great. He had hoped that Cleopatra and he could still enjoy the fruits of their struggles, feast, drink, dance, watch their children grow up. But that cursed Octavian would not leave them alone, even after his victory. The man who had once been Antony's ally, with whom he had shared the empire, was merciless and cowardly. He refused Antony's challenge of single combat. He refused Antony's offer to kill himself, if only Cleopatra would be spared. And now she was gone. Despair welled up within him. Life would be nothing without her. He drew his sword and handed it to Eros. Eros took it gingerly, not a man used to handling weapons.
Kill me? Master, Eros gasped. No, you can still surrender. Octavian will treat you honorably.
Antony let out a humorless chuckle.
That man has no honor. He will humiliate me and have me publicly executed to show his absolute power. And even if he spared me, what sort of existence would I have?
He shook his head.
My mind is made up. You must do this last service for me, Eros. Kill me.
Eros held the sword before him in a trembling hand. Antony focused on the tip of the blade. His flesh had tasted steel often enough. He knew there would be pain, but then there would be release.
Do it,
he hissed.
Master, said Eros, tears streaming down his face. I cannot. I am sorry. Forgive me.
And then, to Antony's horror, he reversed the weapon, then threw himself onto it. A long groan came from deep within him, and he toppled sideways. Antony leapt up and caught him before he hit the floor. He cradled the body of his dying servant, holding him until the last signs of life faded. Then he picked the weapon up. He would have to do it himself then. He weighed the sword in his hand, tested its balance, looked down the blade to see if it was straight. It was well maintained. It suited him just fine. He looked around the chamber, deep in the heart of the royal palace in Alexandria. The plush furniture, the lavish wall decorations, the expensive, gaudy marble statuary, all were grey and drab without his beloved. He choked back a sob. The silence, the emptiness, seemed to mock him now. He, who had come from nothing to become the ruler of the greatest empire the world had ever known, had nothing once more. So this was how it ends.
How had it come to this?